On today's Compassion Radio.
I wanted to read the book of Acts with fresh eyes. There was relationship issues. The whole story with Paul and Barnabas just breaks my heart every time I read it, because we've been there. We've had deep relationships, people that we've loved so dearly, and we've had a rift. Just seeing the agony that these two men experienced because of that disagreement, but yet God used that for such a great purpose.
And so we come to the end, or rather, the end of the beginning. This is the last Monday of our very first Chasing the Word series here on Compassion Radio. For the past year, Sandy and I have taken a deep dive into the history of the church in its earliest days by reading the story in their own words. I think it's perfectly appropriate that it all culminates right before the next Pentecost on the calendar. Coming full circle, you might say. But you know what? It's more than that. We happen to be wrapping up the book of Acts in the most uncertain times our world has seen in generations, and that, my friends, I believe is no coincidence. For faithful followers of Jesus in the 21st century and the age of the corona pandemic, the story of the first followers of Jesus and how they found an anchor in dramatic times is absolutely essential for us in our time. There's a lot of great takeaways we had from the experience, and we're eager to share them with you today. Thank you so much for joining us.
If there's anything about his example in life that I want to capture in mind, whatever the experiences are that I have in my generation, I want to know that until the time God calls me home, I want to be getting better at giving an account for the God who is in me, for the things he has done, but for who he is even more.
Right. Yeah.
We can tell the stories about things long past. Moses wore a veil to cover his face after seeing God face to face because it was blinding. The energy that absorbed into him radiated so much that people were afraid to look at Moses. So he put a veil on to protect them. Later, he didn't take the veil off in order to protect himself. His reputation was on the line. What if people saw that he wasn't quite so bright anymore? What if people knew that he really hadn't experienced the presence of God in quite a long time? What if? And he kept that veil on the rest of his life. We are living in an era where veils are essential to our physical survival. Not so much that we might die ourselves, but that we might be the carriers of death to others. And that's why we're trying to be as sensitive and respectful of others as we possibly can by wearing our gloves and our mask while we go do our essential shopping. We go to Home Depot or to the grocery store. This season will pass. But until there is a cure, a vaccine that can prevent this disease from affecting people or possibly endangering them, until that time, we have to be extraordinarily cautious. But there will come a time when this disease also is brought to heal. Will we be liberated up to live our lives freely and boldly like these last 2 years of Paul's life? Will we be unhindered? Or will we go back to our own pre-habits that were comfortable, that were unwilling to deal with uncomfortable truths? We're unwilling to go places where the word has not been heard, where the kingdom was suffering. We've talked about that a zillion times on this program. Where the kingdom suffers is where God is.
We also need to be cautious about being fearful of others.
Yes.
In places that are not like our own place, in places that are unfamiliar, or in cultures that are different from our own, that they were not being cautious before we got there, that they won't take care of us. We need to go where God calls us to go, regardless of our fear and our anxiety. Yes, be careful. Yes, count the cost. But if we continue to put the other as the other, then we never go, because we say they're different from us. We say they're dangerous to us. We don't see that in Paul's life.
No.
Paul put the other ahead of himself.
Yeah.
Paul made others a priority.
Every one of his epistles has some section that seems to be devoted towards that issue of how to lower the self and raise the other.
Take care of our brothers and sisters.
What the fruit of the Spirit looks like, how to care for the one who's weaker in their faith. There's always something about reconsider your position and find it in relationship to and in the power of your relationship to Jesus. Go there. Now, in the case of Compassion Radio, one of our prime ethics is to go to places that others can't or won't. and meet those Christians that are in these places and bring back those stories to change our minds about what we think about the places and the people from which we draw our fear, because we find out that God's already there and has his people, and we need to not forget them. But I also am very reminded this year of how important it is to not be presumptuous. We had an opportunity earlier in this year, which would have put me in the refugee camps along the Syrian border with Turkey, right at the major outbreak of COVID. I may not have been able to get back home at the time. Man, did I want to go there and be part of the story of the church that's booming in the refugee camps along the borders, of the Iranians who are coming there and coming to the camps, not to just work or try to get the people out, but coming there because they felt safe in the camps because they knew believers were there.
Right.
And they were not safe at home in Iran. I wanted to get those stories. God said no. And he said no in such a way that seemed really confusing to me. And yet, it became evident that over those months, February, March, April of this year, was right at the time when all of this coronavirus issue was going to arise worldwide. We had no clue. But he made it impossible for us to go do the things that we were so ready to do, so willing to do. I'm reminded that God is the one that sets the journal and the agenda.
Right.
And is going to set the agenda for the rest of our lives and for the rest of the life of this ministry. Friends, we are so grateful for God's plan, even that we can't see, because I know it's going to be good. And for the time that we spent together exploring this book of Acts and the whole first few years of the Christian church in their power, in their suffering, in their experience, in their love, in their willingness to record all of this for us, it reminds us that the first century church is the church. The church is the first century. You're living your first century as the church right now. So were they. We are still on the front lines in the first chapter of what God's writing in this world. Let's not grow weary in being that church, in praying risky prayers, of asking him for what he wants, and expecting God to show up and do miracles in our presence and around the world, where he wants to show off, as you say. And God loves to demonstrate his power. But he also has reasons for it. He doesn't just show off because he's vain. He shows off because it brings glory to his name and because he knows it has a place in the hearts of those who are coming to him. He doesn't waste his energy or his time going after people or doing things that no one's going to notice or care about or ever respond to. He is invested in the things that have eternal returns. He wants people to know him. He wants people to be with him now and for eternity. That's the lesson I get from the book of Acts, and it was the lesson we learned in chapter one. What's your takeaway from this series, honey?
You know, there are so many great stories in the book of Acts. It reads like an adventure novel in so many ways, and I love those. But I love knowing that these are actual events that happened that we can look at and see God's power and see God's hand in them. I wanted to read the book of Acts with fresh eyes when we began this series. And sometimes I've reverted back to my upbringing and said, oh, well, you know, this story is the way it is because...
We read it this way because we know what it means.
Exactly. So it was an effort for me sometimes to make myself read it with fresh eyes and to see it in a new way. But I loved reading these stories that way because I didn't want to let myself know the end of the story before I got to it. I began to read it in a way that was exciting to me to see, wow, this is what God did. This looked so dire. This situation looked so bad for them. I mean, they were in big trouble. He was thrown in jail.
And just because we know the end of the story does not mean it was not intense.
And there was relationship issues. The whole story with Paul and Barnabas just breaks my heart every time I read it, because we've been there. We've had deep relationships, people that we've loved so dearly, and we've had a rift in that relationship. Just seeing the agony that these two men experienced because of that disagreement, but yet knowing that God used that for such a great purpose that maybe would not have been carried out had they just gone, okay, we'll deal with it and we'll be fine. No, they actually dealt with that relationship break and said, I'm going to push on and press on, and God's going to use me where I go and where you go. And that was important for me to see.
Yeah.
My encouragement to others who read this is, Paul is a rock star in this book. We see that. Don't treat him like a rock star, because he would not want that. I know from reading this that
God's
Paul
a
was a humble man, and yeah. everything Paul did was to the praise and glory of God and to make God famous, not to make Paul famous. I think we run the risk of becoming Paul's disciples and not Jesus' disciples through this. And that's my caution to myself.
Becoming a disciple of somebody to the exclusion of the one they serve is death.
Right.
Becoming a disciple of somebody because they consistently lead you to the one from which the power comes is life.
Well, we know that there are instances where Paul says, do what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And he means worship God the way I'm worshiping and
serve
example. Jesus yeah. in the way I'm serving him. And I understand that. I understand that that's what he's saying. For me, I just think this is a real cautionary tale in some ways, because I, for the majority of my walk with the Lord, I have kind of idolized Paul. And I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I want to put Paul in his proper place in history, a very great history of the church, and his important role. Because of Paul, my ancestors know Jesus.
Yeah.
Because of Paul going to the outsiders, as my translation calls us, we know Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we wouldn't if
right.
no one had gone. And if God hadn't called Peter to go to Cornelius' house and shown Peter how important it was to preach to the unbelievers,
yeah.
to the outsiders, we wouldn't know Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a bunch of things that I'm saying that are my takeaway, but there was so much in 28 chapters of the
yeah.
book of Acts. Every chapter has a takeaway. It is such an important time to reevaluate our place in history.
So, how is the Lord calling you to active service in His kingdom? Hopefully, right where you live, through your local church and service organizations. And I hope you're not forgetting your brothers and sisters around the world that are battling coronavirus and the panic it brings, just like you are. And I'm thrilled that you continue to partner with us in times like this. This unusual media ministry that we are, bringing you the frontline kingdom news you probably won't hear much about anywhere else. Thank you for how your courage and faithful giving keep us on the air, in the arena, standing with you to help the kingdom keep growing in the 21st century. Here's how. Just visit our website, CompassionRadio.com, or call our toll-free order line, 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Reach out to us whatever way works for you. We can't do this work any other way than with you.
There was so much in 28 chapters of the book of Acts. Every chapter has a takeaway. It is such an important time to reevaluate our place in history. And like you said, we are living as first century Christians.
Mm-hmm.
That's where God calls us, to be bold, to be out there on the front lines, to be praying for those around us and those that we don't know, to be praying for people like Paul who are really out there right now. There are people that we have met, you and I, and that we haven't met, that are doing the kinds of things that Paul was doing.
Yeah.
They are going from place to place. In India, we know of barefoot pastors that we've talked about before, going from village to village to preach the gospel.
Yeah.
We know of people in the refugee camps that are preaching the gospel, that are being visited by Jesus himself, they tell us,
yes.
in dreams, to convert them to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And they are rising up and talking about this Jesus that they have met.
Mm-hmm.
And they're sharing the gospel out of just a vision.
Yeah.
So we know of these things that are happening. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for these people, these pastors, these men and women who are risking their lives.
In some ways, these modern apostles that are miraculously called to the work, they seem to be of the spirit and the lineage of Apollos, someone who was outside the faith but discovered it, pursued it doggedly, and went about preaching because they felt the Spirit moving them physically to get out of Egypt and go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And Apollos did. He ran all the way up through the Aegean Sea. And by the time he got to the top of the ocean up there, he met Priscilla and Aquila.
Mm-hmm.
And the word that we read just a few chapters ago said, And there he was taught more perfectly who Jesus was and why all of this makes sense. He found his way into a further truth, understanding the richness of this history and the story that God was writing across millions and billions of lives, including these people. These new believers who are preaching Jesus, they need their Priscillas and Aquilas to step into their lives so they don't get drawn away from the truth, because they're burning a very bright flame right now. When we cut ourselves off from these places and these peoples and say, there's no presence of God there, we have no responsibility, and we deny that God is sending prophets to these people from their own people, we turn away from our absolute responsibility to care for those God is raising up.
Right.
As our pastors have been fond of saying, as God raises up people for leadership in our congregation, who God anoints, we ordain. And that's what the church's responsibility is to do, is to confirm the things that God is already doing in the hearts and lives of those he's called out. We need to be, as a church in the West, doing that very work for all of those that God is calling out of places that would seem impossible to us. Out of mosques and visions of bread and wine on the table, and pursuing somebody can give an answer for what these things mean, because this vision was so intense for these young mullahs. And finally, the answer was that they just had a living encounter with Jesus. We have a supreme responsibility to these young men and women. When this current storm for us in the world blows over with this particular infection of coronavirus, I do not want to go back to normal. I want to keep pursuing the places where God's hand is at work.
Yeah.
And I don't want our Compassion Radio partners and friends to give up on that dream either. Not just for us to go, the people that we are within this team, but for being encouragers for others who will as well, in different ways and different places. We know over 30 years of being Compassion Radio that where Norm went, where I've gone, where Cher has gone, where you've gone, we keep meeting people that have been inspired by somebody, and the spiritual lineage comes back to people we know. God is prompting and sending and providing for, and he wants us to go and do these things, but he also wants their stories told. I don't want to be on the outside again. I want to absolutely be on the inside of God's story he's writing. Do you realize, friends, that in the next decade or so, we will be literally 2 millennia away from the date and time where the Spirit of God descended upon believers at Pentecost? We get to celebrate the 2000th birthday of the church. That drives me to be pursuing opportunities to bring the story further and further and more intensely so that people would celebrate this with us, that we wouldn't just miss this great event in history, that we wouldn't miss the opportunity to look forward and say, God, give us a renewed vision for what this next millennia of the church is going to be like, how we can plant the seeds now in our generation that will be read by, be understood, and be known by our descendants, spiritually speaking, a millennia from now, that will look back and say, thank God for the faithful believers of the 21st century. In our own generation, with our own families, I want our sons and daughters to rise up and call us blessed. I want generations, hundreds of generations down the road, to rise up and call us blessed because we were faithful. That's my dream. I think it very appropriate we finish this whole series with another closing prayer, as we usually do at the end of each chapter. And as we would tell our kids when we read books together, end of chapter. Sometimes we say end of chapter, end of book. And sometimes we say end of chapter, end of book, end of series. I can recall the pure tears of sadness from our kids when a story they loved came to an end. And I know that tomorrow we'll start a new adventure. We'll read another book. When it comes to the Word of God, I guarantee you that when we shed a tear at the end of a story that God has written, Jesus weeps with us, because he knows his story is beautiful. He wrote it for us. Friends, next week, we're going to start a new series, and Chasing the Word is going to become something that's part of our core. I'm excited for that adventure, but I also want to thank God for this story we just read. Let's pray. Father in heaven, your word is so beautiful, and the stories are so powerful. They're exciting. They're fraught with danger and peril. They're the kind of adventures that stir the soul of any young soul. And they quicken the old and infirm. They renew us like wings of an eagle catching new winds. Father, the Acts of the Apostles are a book like that for me. They remind me that life is absolutely an adventure. No matter how difficult, sometimes especially because it's difficult, The pursuit of you and your pursuit of us are an incredible dance, something that we need to celebrate every time we see it. So, Lord, we want to acknowledge that your word here, the story of how you breathed life into your church, tongues of fire and powerful indwelling and breath of heaven that came out of the mouths of the apostles and all the believers, and how it changed the world we live in today and is going to continue changing the world as we face the 2000th anniversary of that event sometime in the next decade or so is when it really happened. That is a launching point for a new millennia of the church. And Lord, there are so many that still don't know you, that have never heard. And we have so many stories that have never been told of how you're reaching people. God, Compassion Radio has just been one small part of that. But thank you so much that we have been able to carry back to our friends and family this story, this ongoing narrative, this exciting adventure. Lord, help us to be faithful in that. And if it's your will that we continue being out there and being the eyewitnesses of your glory happening around the world, that you would help us find a way to continue doing it, even in hard times, especially in hard times, emotionally, financially, spiritually. While we wait, Lord, I want us to know that we're waiting on you, that we're serving you where we are. While we're in lockdown in our town here in Texas, where so many other people are feeling the same thing, they feel isolated. Father, break down that isolation, but protect the family at the same time.
Yes.
Even if we are removed from each other, like all of these people we read about in the apostles' journeys, they were never far apart in heart. They were never far apart in prayer. They constantly lifted each other up and brought glory to your name by how they committed themselves to the well-being of the saints around the world. God, help us to be doing the same thing today. We love you, Lord. We ask you for new adventures. We ask you for a new day. And Lord, while there is pestilence in our world, we pray covering and safety for those who are sick. Lord, save many more lives physically than we would have expected.
Yes.
But more importantly, bring to spiritual life more and more people that might never have heard your gospel or responded to you, and do it supernaturally if necessary. Mm-hmm. But I also pray you send many loving Christian people to sit with those who suffer and are mm-hmm. sick. And we'll be with them, and that people will discover that it's you that's sitting with them. In your precious name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
We'll see you next week for a brand new adventure on Chasing the Word Together.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Friends, this beautiful rendition is available as part of Michael O'Brien's new project titled Crown Him. I'll tell you how to order your own copy as we close today.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven. This day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
Many of you are monthly supporters, and we are absolutely praying the Lord will continue to provide for you way above and beyond what you've committed to this ministry. I know that there are also those of you who know you're doing just fine in all practical ways. Here's my challenge to you. If God has enabled you to support His kingdom purposes, lead the way. Please give generously where you hear God's word preached, celebrated, and lived. I urge you not to let a day go by without asking the Lord what He would have you to do. We need you, and we thank you for everything that you do and every prayer you offer on our behalf. We can't be here to encourage you each day without your vote of confidence. So give us that vote of confidence today by letting us know you're standing with us and that you're chasing the word together with us. When you call or write us today with your tax-free gift, make sure to ask for Michael O'Brien's brand new music project, Crown Him, available on CD or for digital download. This is one album you don't want to miss. Our toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And you can find us 24/7 at our website, CompassionRadio.com. God bless you, friends. We'll see you tomorrow.